talking to him a while ago about the revival we had with his, that's your grandpa, wasn't it, Brother Onley, back in 91, 2. A lot of folks got saved, whole time, Holy Ghost revival. And that's what we need today. Good to be here, good to be saved. Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
A song by the Blue Inspiration. They sung, "My name's already there. Our citizenship's already in heaven. And our name is already there." Thank God.
Hey.
Good to be here.
Can't take me now, for I'm gonna shout.
One preacher said, saved from the guttermost to the uttermost.
Hey. Amen. That's right.
Pick me up, Solomon said, out of that horrible pit. Set my feet on a rock, establish my going, put a song in my heart. He said, even praise to our God. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, good to be here, Andy. Good to be saved. Good to be in the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when he said, let us go in the house of the Lord. Enter into thy gates with thanksgiving and into thy courts with praise. Praise his name. Amen, brother. I'm about to get beside.
Amen.
Let's sing that something to shout about. Amen.
We got thank you, Lord. Be blessed.
We'll try. Yeah.
The Savior looked down.
Okay, we'll sing one more. Maybe it won't take up too much time. It's good to be here, ain't it? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. In my heart I am
Good Savior.
We were pulling out of the driveway tonight, and there's a man that lives across the street from us. He's a Down syndrome man, but he's like in his 50s or 60s, and his name, everybody knows him as Happy Jack. And he was going out just taking the trash can down the road, and Jeremiah saw him and honked, and we waved, and he just smiled like he always does, and he says, you know, he got that name for a reason. Happy Jack's always happy. And I said, you know, that's the way we ought to be. You've got a roof over your head, you've got food in your mouth, and clothes on your back. What do you have to complain about? And you've got a future in heaven with God that loves you. And we've all just been blessed beyond our wildest imagination. And I just want to praise him tonight because he's a good father. And he loves me, and I love him.
Amen.
I'm
Praise the Lord. I enjoyed that, didn't you?
Amen. Thank God for it. Thank God for that song. Thank God for that good choir singing. Amen. You could feel the Spirit of the Lord in that. Amen. And I thank God for that. I'll tell you, some of the worship we did back in that revival he was talking about would scare this generation to death. They wouldn't know what to do with it. And I tell you, it wouldn't take much more of what was happening up here tonight in the choir with the Lord helping them and Amen. Brother Bob getting happy. It wouldn't have took very much Amen. More to put me on the run. Amen. Amen. I've not run in some time, but I'm a candidate if God wants me to. Amen. Bless his name, just for him. Amen. Not to show off, just for him. Amen. To bless his name Amen. With all that's within me. Yes. Blessing yes. his name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Thank God for it. Preacher, come and preach to us tonight. Amen. Amen.
Sir, here you go. All right, good. Thank you. Amen. Can y'all see me? Can you hear me? Smell me? Good. We're good shape. All right. Give me a little more volume. Just a little bit more. Yeah. Amen. All right. So now it's good. Well, you know, I didn't know. I've been at this work of the Lord a long, long time. A long, long time. And I remember when I was a boy, we used to have revivals in our community. And matter of fact, as a boy, I don't remember a lot of the things that went on, but I do what I remember them talking about. I remember them talking about, you know, our community was like y'all, mostly farmers back then. And I remember them talking about people that knew God plowing their horses and plowing their mules and stopping at the end of the row, tying the mule up and crying out to God. When they got done praying, they'd turn him around and head back the other way. Yeah, but let me tell you what has never happened to me. I pastored over 40 years one church, and I've been doing this work, evangelism, traveling up down the road for about 14 years. And all the visits I've made, all the places I've been, I have never walked up on anybody that was praying. Never. So you won't know why we don't have revivals like we used to have? We've got too many other things to entertain us. We've got too many other things to occupy us. And we just don't need God like we used to, think we need him. But I tell you, I'm a candidate. I'm a candidate, buddy. Amen. I'm a candidate. Praise the Lord. Well, I want you to open the Bible to the book of 1 Kings, if you would. And I'm going to try to read here in a minute and try to give you something. But I want to tell you, thank y'all for coming, being in the meeting. Thank you for all of you being here, no matter who you are. Y'all have done a good job listening every night. It's not been so pleasant, I guess, to listen to. But nevertheless, I'm thankful for you being here and thankful for what God's done. Now, I want to say a word to you. Now, you folks that are visiting with us, you won't know this, and those that are home folk might not recognize it. But I'm telling you, I've done my very best to give you what God said. Amen. Now, whether it's pleased you, whether it didn't please you, I've done my very best to seek God. And I'm not telling you, I'm not giving secrets or anything, but I've spent a lot of hours with God this week. I mean, in prayer, a lot of hours. And I was thinking a while ago, when y'all were we were singing, I was thinking, you know, the only way I'm going to hear from President Trump is if I turn on some sort of media and I hear his voice. That's the only way I'm going to hear him. And I do know his voice because I've heard it over the media. But I've had the King of Kings been speaking in my ear all day long. Oh, yeah. And Trump ain't never done that. Trump has never spoken to me in my ear. No. And he's never spoken to me in my heart. But I've had him all day long, off and on, would be whispering to me in my heart. Boy, I tell you, I wouldn't give the world for that. I wouldn't give the world, I mean, for having the voice of God ring in my heart and in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm glad to be saved. I hope y'all are. All right, let's open the Bible. We're in 1 Kings, if you're there. If you're able, I'll ask you to stand, and we'll reverence God's word. I'm going to read about 7 or 8 chapters here, get you caught up. Amen. But anyway, I'm going to read several verses here. Then we'll come back, and we're going to do a little study here tonight. Now my preaching is not like mountain preaching. Y'all know that? Y'all know Terry Pace? Terry Pace? Terry was one of our favorite preachers. I had him at church all the time. But I can't preach like him. I wish I could. Just one time, and I'd probably drop over dead. Amen. But I love Brother Terry. He was one of our favorite brethren. All right, First Kings and chapter number 18 is where we are. And we'll read a story here. And I want you to pay really close attention to it as I read the story. And then we're going to come back and we're going to try to study it a little bit. All right, verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land unto all fountains of water and unto all brooks, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beast. So they divided the land between them to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself. Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that my lord Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What have I sinned that thou wouldest deliver thy servant in the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when he said he's not here, not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men in of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah's here. and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Be seated, if you will. I'll have prayer with you. Then we want to try to look at a little bit this tonight. Father, I want to thank you again now for letting us be here in this place again. And I want to thank you, Lord, for your presence. I thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the good fellowship, Lord, with your children. And I'm honoring you that, Lord, that you'd let us be saved. And, Lord, you'd let us have a part in telling out your story and your message. I pray the Holy Spirit now would move on us, Lord. Let us, God, say exactly what you want us to say. And, Lord, I want to pray you do what we can't do. Would you open somebody's heart, Lord, to hear what God has to say? And we'll honor you for what you do. Thank you again for letting us be here. We'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. So I'm going to be digging out of this story tonight some things. And here's what I'm going to deal with. Are y'all listening to me now? I want you to hear what I'm about to say. And I'm going to try to build on this thought. Now we're going to study this guy called Obadiah, the governor of Ahab's house. Now that's what I'm going to look at. But here's how I'm going to look at it. You can if you want to. You can if you want to. If you want to, you can. Are y'all hearing that now? Now put that in your heart and mind. All right, if you want to, you can. So I'm going to look at this guy tonight. And with that little thought sitting back in the heart of your mind, I want to try to say a few things about him. Then I'll be out of your way. So I want to lay the background and understand. Matter of fact, if you look back verse number 3, this is basically our text verse. Said Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now, I'll say more about that in a moment. Now, I don't know how much you know about the Word of God, how much you read it. But now, you know the story how God brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And you know how God gave them the land of Canaan. I mean, that's a common story in the Bible. And then I heard brother Carl and Andrew a while ago talking about Solomon. But when Solomon became king of the nation of Israel, he did real good until he got old. And he violated God's word. And the Bible said he's not to multiply wives to himself lest they lead you astray. And that's exactly what happened. And so when Solomon got old, then his wife started leading him away from God. And you know, you know about a puzzle. A man that had God to appear to him, and then in his old age, he actually built idols to Moloch, and they actually offered their own children in sacrifices to those idols. And he built idol of Moab, the Moab's God, and on God. And so here's the idea. So when that happened, God said, I'm going to divide the kingdom. I'm going to give Solomon one tribe and the rest of the tribes will go, and they'll have a division. They'll split. Well, he gave those 10 tribes, northern tribes we call Israel, he gave them to a guy named Jeroboam. And so Jeroboam became their first king. Well, right off the bat, Jeroboam, he built an idol of gold, put one in Dan, and he put one in a place called Bethel. So they started worshiping these idols right off the bat. And then, God started judging that nation of Israel. And let me say this to you now. You know this, but let me say it. So you've got a southern kingdom where David's descendants would reign, Judah. The northern kingdom would be the descendants and other people that followed Jeroboam. They'd reign. Now, that northern kingdom never had one good king. Not a good one at all. Not one. Every one of them was ungodly and vile. Now, this brings us to the present king they had. The present king the northern kingdom had was called Ahab. Remember that name? Remember the name Ahab? All right, so we'll talk a little bit about him later. So now, we're now looking at the kingdom of Ahab, and so Ahab has a governor called Obadiah. Now, let me say this to you. Now, there are 12 different Obadiahs in the Bible. If you'll study them, there are 12 different ones. Now, the most famous one is the prophet Obadiah, one of the minor prophets. But now, this one, this is probably the only passage that has this guy that's mentioned here that we're going to talk about. Now, listen to me carefully now. So this Obadiah here, he was not a prophet. He was not a priest. Matter of fact, all the priests in that upper kingdom, they had already fled, and they went south to the kingdom of Judah, because Jeroboam, he made the lowest people he could find, he made them priests in the northern kingdom. So all those priests have fled and gone south. Now this guy is not a prophet. He's not a priest. What is he? Well, the Bible said he is the governor of Ahab's house. So what does that mean? I mean, what does that mean when it says he's the governor of Ahab's house? I have no idea. I do not know. I don't know what he did. I don't know what he is supposed to do. I guess I could say this. He's supposed to obey Ahab. But now, here is a paradox, or whatever that is. So, and that is this now. You've got a wicked, ungodly, vile kingdom who sold, the king sold himself to do evil on this throne. He had got a governor named Obadiah. Are y'all listening now? Look what it said, verse 3. Now grab all this. I mean, here is a kingdom that is so ungodly, they're offering babies to an altar. They're doing some of the vilest things you could ever think of doing. And yet right in the middle of that is a man called Obadiah. Yeah. Now look at it. Said Obadiah, which was the governor of his house, parentheses. See it? Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. I want you to get a hold of that. I mean, right in the middle of the ungodliest atmosphere you could ever dream of, here is a man that suffers, that services, and the Bible said he feared the Lord greatly. Y'all grab that.
Amen.
All right, so now, with that in mind, let's see what we can find out about him. All right, so what can I find out about this guy named Obadiah? Number one, I want to look at his character for just a minute, see what I can find out about him. All right, so number one, let's look at his home life. I mean, he's alive. He's bound to have a mom and dad somewhere, right? You didn't order them back then. They were just the God gave them to you. But now watch what we got here now. So here this boy named Obadiah. So let's look at his home life. So there's a mom and there's a dad, right? Yeah. All right. So let me ask you. So now that Obadiah's a real live baby, I wonder if he named himself. I wonder if he popped up and said, "Hey, Ma, I want to be named Obadiah." Reckon that happened? Oh, no. So here's what happened. There's a mother and there's a daddy that's been living in an absolutely ungodly atmosphere. Don't get this now. I mean, the atmosphere in which they're living in, and they got a newborn baby, and somehow mom and dad agreed to name him Obadiah. So what's so big about that? The word Obadiah means servant of Jehovah.
Amen.
Now, you'll grab that one. Right in the middle of ungodliness, here is a mama, here's a daddy that's got enough courage to say, "I want to name my boy servant of Jehovah."
Amen.
Do you have any idea how much trouble his name is going to cause? I mean, just to be in that atmosphere and have a name that says a servant of Jehovah. So here's what I see now. So number one, in his home life, mom and dad named him servant of Jehovah. Now, that says something about mom and dad. That said something about mom and dad evidently still had a hope of the real God of heaven in their heart, or they wouldn't have named him that, right? Now, don't you listen to me now. So the verses we read in verse number 3, chapter 18, verse number 3, now hear me now. So mom and dad named him Obadiah, servant of Jehovah. Now, in chapter 18, verse number 3, Obadiah is an adult man. He's not a baby boy anymore. He is an adult man. So how did he arrive from being a baby to an adult man and still fear God? How did he get there? I tell you how he got there. He had a mom and dad that didn't send him in front of a television. He had a mom and dad that didn't send him out to play ball. He had a mom and dad that said, son, you've got to fear God. We've named you servant of Jehovah, and it's your life's calling to serve Jehovah. And you're supposed to fear God. So here's what happened here. So they named him servant of Jehovah. That is his calling to serve Jehovah. Now, some years later, adult, he's still at it.
Amen.
No, are y'all grabbing hold of that? He's an adult man now, and he's still at it. So let me ask you this now. So here he is, and evidently he's living up to his name.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to that now? He is now living up to his name. So I'm going to ask you a question. Y'all listen to me now. Now, I'm not mean, but I am challenging. So I'm going to ask you this now. If Obadiah, in the atmosphere in which he lived, was named Servant Jehovah, and he came through his adolescence, through the teenage years, whatever that meant back then, now he's an adult, he's an administrator in AF's court, and he's still living God. He's living up his name.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Are you? Are you living up to your name? Well, you say my name's John. No, we don't mean that name. We mean this one. We mean the one in Acts 8:26. And they called them Christians first in Antioch. Hey, I wonder if we can find out where you live. I wonder if we can find out where you work. We can find out the people that you associate with, and they know you go to church somewhere or another. I wonder if we said to them, are they living up to their name? Are they living up to their name? That is challenging, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. So here is Obadiah, and that's exactly what he's doing. He's living up his name, neighbor, as a servant of God. Now, watch something else, if you would now. Right, I want you to see, if you will, verse number 3 again. Now, watch what it said in verse number 3. So here, now that is his home life, but look at his public life. So in verse number 3 it said, now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. Now that word fear means he has a reverence from God. Oh my goodness, help me, Lord. That word fear has the idea of this, that he is conscious of God every word he says. Every conversation he has, he is conscious of what God thinks about it. Every place he goes, he's conscious of what God thinks about it. Everything he's involved in, he's conscious of what God thinks. Why? He's got this reverence of God. Amen. But now watch this now. So notice, and oh, well, now let's see. God, let me just move on and say this now. All right, so he feared God. But do you notice what the Bible said here? Bible said he not only feared God. Did y'all see the adverb there? See the adverbs connected to it? He feared God how?
Greatly.
In other words, well, I just fear God. No, he had an exceeding fear of God.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. Was Ahab a man to be feared? Was Ahab a man to be feared?
Yeah.
But now, let me ask you this. So, which fear was greater? His fear of Ahab or his fear of God? The fear of God was greater than the fear of Ahab. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. So now, here's what I want you to say. This is how I see it. So God, mom and dad, gave him the name of Servant of Jehovah. Now, he's living up to that name, Servant of Jehovah. But evidently, it must have grown on him. Because now, he don't just fear God. He fears God greatly. Big. Are y'all grabbing me there?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Would y'all agree with me that this generation of both sinners and professing believers have less fear of God in their heart than they ever have before?
Yes,
would you agree with that?
Yes,
less fear of God now than they ever have had before.
Right.
Amen. So anyway, I would say that would be a quality that might be good to somehow recover. So now I see something about his public life. He is fearing God publicly. But let me show you this now. So I wonder how he witnessed. You reckon he was a witness for the Lord? What do you think? Well, we may not know. But now, I want you to listen to him. So, what's your first name? Jeremiah. All right. So, I'm going to pretend that you're Ahab. Y'all forgive me for that, won't you? I'm going to pretend that Jeremiah is Ahab, and for a moment, I'm going to pretend that I am Obadiah. Now remember, the language of the northern kingdom is still Hebrew. So now listen, man. Don't forget, what's Obadiah's name mean?
Servant of God.
Huh? Servant of Jehovah. So now, the Bible said in verse number 3 that Ahab called Obadiah. Is that right? All right, so call me. I'm Obadiah. Louder.
Obadiah.
Like you want me to come to you.
Obadiah.
Now, remember, Ahab knows the Hebrew. What is, and knowing what Obadiah means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has just witnessed to himself.
Right.
Every time he opens his mouth and Obadiah comes out, it is Servant of Jehovah. Ahab knows he's gone astray. He knows that he's not serving God. But every time he calls Obadiah's name, it's a witness to Jehovah God of glory. Hallelujah. Amen to God. So, by the way, in that hour, you didn't go down the street giving out tracts. Y'all know that, don't you? In that hour, you didn't go down the street and say, "Won't you come to our revival meeting?" Oh, no. That was kind of taboo. It would probably cost you your life. But every time Ahab opened his mouth and said, "Obadiah," it's God witness his wicked heart about the servant of Jehovah God. Hallelujah. Y'all all right now? All right. So let's stretch it a little farther here now. All right. So now, I want you to look quickly. I say quickly at the circumstances under which Obadiah is serving God. So number one, whatever. So here's the idea. So was there political corruption in that area? So if you got your Bible still open, you might flip back to chapter 16. I'll read a couple of verses for you. Chapter 16, look at verse number 25. You there? All right, so watch what it said. But Amariah, have you ever heard that name before? We just have now. Amen. But Omri, and Omri is Ahab's father. So Ahab's father, Omri, is on the throne. And the Bible said this, he wrought or worked evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all that were before him. My goodness. My goodness. Here's a kingdom of God's chosen people, and the king has done more evil and ungodliness than anybody that's ever been before him. But he has a boy named Ahab. Look in chapter 16, verse 30. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. Oh, no, y'all don't think y'all grabbing this. I don't know if you don't like my preacher or not, but you might as well rest, because I ain't going to quit or get on. So here's what I want you to see now. So Omri, Ahab's father, was vile, ungodly. So I got this, by the way. Yeah, what's that statement they used to use? What you do in excess, what you do in moderation, your children do in excess. Y'all ever heard that? What you do in moderation, your kids are doing excess. Well, what Omri did, and it wasn't moderation. So Ahab stretched it out there. He did more, neighbor, than anybody else. Matter of fact, the Bible said he sold himself to do evil. Are y'all hearing me now? So was there corruption in politics? Can I ask you a question? Do you live in an hour where politics is corrupt? Some of y'all not too sure, are you? But in politics, from the local level to the highest level, is eaten up with filthy corruption at every turn. And it's not selected to one party, buddy. Now, here's what I want you to see. In the middle of all this corrupt politics, guess what Obadiah's doing? What do you think he's doing? In the middle of all that sin, all that filthiness, all that ungodliness, Obadiah is the servant of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Amen. So politics was corrupt in that hour. But now let me stretch a little farther. So was public. Oh my goodness. Elijah said, Lord, he said, all of them's gone crazy. All of them have rejected you. They've killed the prophets and now they're after me. In other words, the public had gone crazy. Hearing Brother Wells. Come here, listen to me. I've never seen an hour when the public is as corrupt and as immoral as they are in the hour in which we live. It's awful. I mean, it is ungodly awful how it is. So the public was that way then. What are you doing, Obadiah? I'm servant of Jehovah. Yep, politics corrupt. And the people all around me, they're corrupt. But I'm still trying to serve God and serve Jehovah. Amen. Amen. People got mad. Yeah, listen to this one now. So you'll remember this, I believe. So there was a place. Let me just move on and say this now. When Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, remember that surely. When the battle of Jericho was fought and the wall came tumbling down and the power of God. When it's all said and done, Joshua said, cursed be the man that built it. I'm not giving a correct quotation, but he said it's going to cost him his firstborn when he lays the foundation, and his youngest will die when he hangs the gates up. Y'all remember that? Remember that? In Ahab's day, there's a guy named Hiel. And here's what Hiel does. Hiel said this. I want to tell y'all, I want to show y'all something. That word of God thing is foolish. There ain't nothing to it. I'm going to show you. I'm going to rebuild Jericho. Watch me. So he laid the foundation. And he buried his first boy. When he hung up the gates, his baby boy died. You know what I'm telling you? He lived an hour when men were not shameful about challenging God. We are there. We are there. When by the way, I remember when Obama was president, and one of the places that I saw him, he made a point, neighbor, to take a strap at the God of heaven. And we've got our colleges are filled with professors that hate God, despise the name of God, and they're rising up to attack the name of God. In this hour. By the way, Obadiah, what are you doing there, boy? What are you doing, Obadiah? My name is Obadiah. I'm a servant of Jehovah.
Amen.
I have not moved.
Amen.
I have not moved.
Amen. That's right.
Y'all listen to me there.
Amen.
Are you a servant of Jehovah?
Sure.
Now, you know that's the same as Jesus, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. Are you a servant of Jehovah?
Amen.
So Obadiah is living for God under this awful atmosphere that he was living in. Now, I could give you some more things, but let me move along and bring you where I want to give you, and I'll be done here. All right, so now, here's what I want you to see. Some of you anyway. All right, so now, Obadiah, his name, servant of Jehovah. He is in Ahab's court, political corruption, legal manipulation. You remember when they stoned Naboth? And there is all kind of public wickedness, all kind of rebelliousness that's out there. So here's my thought. How was Obadiah conducting himself? How did he live? If you saw him doing his job, what would he be doing? How would he be acting in an atmosphere like that? All right, so I'll give you a couple of thoughts. So here's number one. Remember now, he feared the Lord greatly. And I love this. Y'all listen to me? So, okay, all right, so I want you to listen carefully. And I'll tell you this now, and I won't have to tell you later. So, he served, which I think he served Ahab in that wicked, ungodly environment for 22 years and never dipped his colors, not one time. Now, don't you see this now? Of all those years that Obadiah was in Ahab's court, Obadiah never one time was able to influence Ahab toward God. Hang with me a minute now. Are y'all listening carefully? In 22 years, Ahab never influenced him to compromise one spot.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. And here's what I want you to see. See, and I might be ahead of myself, but how that man could do that was way back yonder, right after he got out of the cradle. When mom and dad said, Ahab, you got to fear God. Obadiah, you got to fear God, son. We don't know what God's got in mind for you, but you got to fear God. You got to fear God. You got to fear God. You got to fear God.
Amen.
So, 22 years after he became an adult, and after he became the governor of Ahab's house, Ahab has never one time influenced him. You know why? Because mom and dad put something in his heart when he was a kid. Oh, man, you better hear what I'm telling you. You better hear what I'm telling you. I'm going to say something that might make you mad, but you'll just have to get glad somewhere or another. I was a pastor for over 40 years. Let me tell you what I saw. You better listen to me now. Tell what I saw. I saw mom and dads come up, little boys and girls, and they're praising God. Yeah, hallelujah. Want to raise our kids for God. Want to see God do something to our kids. Y'all listen. 14 or 15 comes around, or 16, whatever the right age is, and they start putting pressure on mom and dad. I want a job. I want you to let me get a job so I can make some money and take care of some of my own affairs. Let me get a job, mom and dad. Let me get a job. And I'm not trying to be mean, but sometimes moms and dads don't have enough discernment to see that Junior and Sissy don't have enough of fiber in them yet to resist the onslaught of the evil that they're going to encounter when they get out there in the public and attacked by people that don't know God. Right. Like it, love it, bump it, or jump it, that happens every day. I've watched young people go astray, leave home, run away. They called mom and dad, sent them in that world before they was ready to go in that world. But mom and dad did the right work with Obadiah. They put something in him that he was able to resist all that temptation, all that onslaught of evil that came at him. He had enough of fiber already built in his heart to resist all that mess. You better listen to me now. I'm telling you, you better hear me. If you have any interest in your children or your grandchildren being servants of God, you better hear me. You better bear in mind how weak they are. They're not ready to take on that ungodly world like maybe you were in your day. Y'all didn't like that, I can tell. It's all right. Why don't you be honest with yourself? Why don't you go back and be honest? Take a look. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. Let me digress here a moment. I'm going to tell you something that bothers me. And that is this. Men and women that are in the world, ungodly, living vile lives, got married, got saved, started a family. When their children get old enough to do the thing they did, they think somehow God gave them another nature. You better wake up. What you did as a young person that was sinful, those young people in your family have got the same desires and the same wants, and they can be subjected to the same thing you were. Why do you want to put them out there to ruin them? Hey, amen. Pastor ever invites me back again, I'm going to bring the tape recorder. It's got my own amens with it. All right, so now, watch this now. So, his personal contact, but I like this now. I already told you that for 22 years, he was persistent in his character. And by the way, I want you to listen to me carefully now. Help us hear a minute, Lord. So, verse number 3 said that Ahab is a king and Obadiah is the governor of Ahab's house. Are y'all listening now? Now put that together. How wicked was Obadiah? I mean, how wicked was Ahab? And yet, Obadiah feared God. So now let's ask a question here. You reckon the personnel department sent him down to Ahab to try out for that job? Did I lose y'all? Here's what I'm asking. How do you think he got that job? Well, he filled out a resume. All right, so let's say that's right. All right, so Obadiah's going to fill out a resume for this position as governor of Ahab's house. My name is Obadiah, which means servant of Jehovah. My mother and my father are godly mom and dad, and they named me that, and they have taught me all these years to fear God, to fear God, to fear God. I'm fairly well educated. I believe I can do the job. Obadiah. Don't you reckon that was so intriguing to Ahab? Wicked to the core, ungodly, vile, got a wife named Jezebel that hates God, that puts prophets to death, stones people innocently. And they Obadiah, and Ahab read that resume. He said, "What do you think about this sweetheart?" She said, "Kill him." And you think, now somebody said already, how do you think he got that job? No, I want you to get a hold of him, John T. Obadiah waited on God to place him. Are y'all listening to that? Obadiah waited on God to put him where God wanted him. I'm going to ask you something, young people. I'm going to ask you, I know you, I'm not expecting an answer, and I don't want an answer. But are you willing to wait on God to place you where he wants you? Are you willing to wait on God to give you the mate God wants you to have? Or have you got to advertise in order to get it? Or had you rather wait on the God of heaven to pick you out the right one?
Amen.
Ahab would not accept their resume. But Obadiah didn't send one in. But he was fearing God. He waited on God to give him what he needed.
Amen.
Y'all listen, Brother Wells.
Amen. Amen.
You talking about a blessing to wait on God to give you what you need. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. That takes 40 days. Wait on God. That takes 10 years. Wait on God to give you what you need. Oh my goodness. I got to move on. So here's what he did. He waited on the Lord. Waited on the Lord. And God placed him. Now here's what he did. When he got in this position, I'm not trying to rush through it because I don't know how the time element went. But in the process of time, Jezebel's killing the prophets. Y'all listen to me now. Yeah. Jezebel's killing them. And Obadiah, he's got Jehovah God in his heart. And he said, I got to do something here. And he took 50 men, put them in one cave. Took 50 men and put them in another cave. Aren't you listening now? You got to listen to me.
Yeah.
These are days of famine. These are days of no rain. These are days nearly, I don't know how long it'd been, but there was 3.5 years. There was not a drop of rain. There was not a drop of dew on the earth.
Amen.
In that environment, Obadiah took 50 men of the prophets, sons of the prophets of God, hid them in this cave. In that cave, you know what the Bible said? And he fed them with. Do I remember? All right, now stop. Stop. How hard do you think bread and water was easy to come by in that hour? How hard was it to come by? Yet this man that's feared God and feared God and feared God is using his position, his assets, to support the men of God and the truth of God.
Amen.
So let's bring it to close. I'm done. So now, let's ask ourselves this question. Whatever happened to Obadiah? Whatever happened to him? Well, we don't know. The scripture doesn't have any indication of what happened over there. So, when did he die? We don't know. How did he die? We don't know. What did people think about him when he died? We don't know. Listen. If it's possible, and of course it's not, if it was possible, why don't we find maybe one of those prophets that was in that cave? And so Obadiah's gone now. Why don't we ask him, what do you think about Obadiah? How do you remember him? He's not with us anymore. How do you remember Obadiah? And I could see that old prophet with tears coming down out of his cheek and saying, he's the best man we ever knew. We never met a better man than Obadiah. When we were in great need and great danger, Obadiah came to our rescue. And if we could talk to every one of those 100 prophets, every one of them would say, I am what I am today because of what Obadiah did for me in those dangerous hours. I have nothing but love and admiration for Obadiah. Hey. Here's what I'm asking. What are they going to say about you when you're gone? What are they going to say about you when you're gone? Are they going to say, well, there's one way at church. Boy, there's good at church. But when they got home, there's a different person. Oh, there's one person at church and one person at home. But boy, when they got to work around us guys out here, oh my, it was different. What are they going to say about me and you when we're gone? Hey, Enoch's still preaching. Abel is still preaching. Moses is still preaching. Elijah's still preaching. Obadiah's still preaching. Will my life affect anybody after I'm gone? Bobby told you all this before, but let me tell it again. You know, you get old, you tell the same illustrations. So, my pastorate, we had a lady that lived in our community. Her name was Cora Costner. That was her name. And Cora, when I met her, I think her husband's already dead when I met her. But she was a rough, rough woman. And God saved her, birthed her in the family of God. And she went to another church, but she'd come visit the church where I pastored. And I don't care where you met her. If you met her at the drugstore, at Walmart, I don't care where you met her. You might as well buckle up. You're going to talk about Jesus. That's the truth. I mean, you're going to talk about Jesus if you met her anywhere. She's going to talk to you about him. Amen. So, Granny Cora would come to church. And now, I'm not being ugly, but this is the truth. Granny Cora loved to sing. And she sang in the minor key. I don't care what key is written in. She sang everything in the minor key. And everything she sung had the same tune. But it was all in the minor key. Y'all know what I mean, don't you? Brethren, we have met to worship. Minor. Everything she sung is like that. I say, Granny Cory, would you like to sing one for us? And she'd say with a tremble in her voice, she said, well, Brother Wells, I didn't come to sing. She'd open her pocketbook and it was full of songbooks. Brother Wells, I didn't come to sing. I said, okay, Granny, come on, sing. She'd get in the pulpit to sing. And she'd, whatever she was singing, you know, she just picked out the one that had the words she liked. She sang it with that minor tone, but the words of the same tune. And you know what happened? Everybody in the building had to start shouting and praising God. They didn't run the aisles much, but they'd shout and praise God. Here's why. Here's why. Her name was Obadiah. Her name was Cora Obadiah Costner. And she'd spend her days worshiping the Lord, praising God, get excited about it. And when she come out of that little house she lived in, she was so full of God, somebody's going to listen to her, buddy. Somebody's going to listen. And she'd get the house of God where we were. And I don't know what went on the church that she went to, but boy, when she'd come to visit us, she'd sing. Nobody paid attention about the tune. Nobody paid attention whether she's on key, off key, didn't care. The heart of the one that was in that was letting that word out, she was so full of God. It filled her heart. And you know what? She'd been dead a while. I never heard a cuss. I never heard a lie. I never heard her tell a dirty story. Never. But when I think of Granny Corey, I think of her as being in my pulpit where I pastor, singing them old songs, the same key, same tune, but different words, and folks praising God and worshiping the Lord. Amen. That's what I think about her. Amen. Now, I've used her all over this country where I've preached to tell about how she was. Amen. You know why? She's like Obadiah. She had set her heart to serve God. Not the world, but set her heart to serve God. Walk with God in private. Fellowship with God in private. And when she'd gotten public, God said, Corey, I'm going to show them how much you've been with me. Pour that anointing oil on her. And the whole crowd would just get elated by the presence of God. Hey. How are you going to remember me? How are you going to remember you? Y'all listen, Brother Wells? Amen. I got a loved one, and I'm not going to tell you who it was. I got a loved one who's dead. And they professed to know the Lord. And they were a teenager when they died. Right before they died, and what the mother and daddy of that child did, they sent him to take piano lessons without checking out the teacher. The teacher was a sodomite. Right before that boy died, we found out he was trying to be a teenage sodomite. Died. Now, so I told you that for a reason. He said he's saved. Well, you have to take his word for it. No, I don't have to take his word for it. He said he was saved. But his actions showed he was a heathen. So, when somebody brings his name up, how do I remember him? How are they going to remember you? How are they going to remember you? I'm telling you, I don't know about y'all, but this is me. I'd like to go in the rapture, but I don't much look for that. I look for the hour when God's going to let me expire and go to be with the Lord. Are y'all hearing me now? And I have no intention of being cremated. And if my wife cremates me, I want you grandsons. And the rest of them, I want you to go haunt your granny. Oh, but wait a minute. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to joke around. But here's my ambition. At least one of them. My ambition is this: Lord takes me, and they do the work they got to do, and they put me in a box. They bring me to the church, not the funeral home. They bring me to the church, have my funeral as a believing saint of God. And my kids, my grandkids, my great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids and all my in-law kids when they come by, I don't want to look in that casket and say, dirty old man. Dirty old man. Are y'all listening to the wells?
Yes, sir.
I'm about done. About another 30 minutes. Hang with me. And this is for y'all that wasn't here the other night. I got a notification one day this week since I've been in this meeting of a preacher I know that's from North Carolina. He's preached for me in my church years ago. He's now 74. I got this picture of him. And it said, arrested for molesting a child 20 years ago. In the pastorate, molested that child. So, by the way, if he dies, I'm not going to his funeral. But there he is in the casket. I know his wife. I know every one of his children. I know every one of them. When they go by and look in the casket, I wonder if they'll say, Daddy, you were a dirty old man. You didn't represent God. You were a dirty, filthy old man. How they gonna remember you? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God has a way, just what he said, be sure your sin will help me find you out. Might be 15 years, 20 years, but God got a way of doing it. How do you want us to remember you? You want us to remember you as somebody that had a heart for God. Jesus picked up out of a dump somewhere, out of a pile of filth, changed your life, made you new. You shouted the victory and served God. Is that how you want us to remember you? That's how I want to remember you. I want to remember you that way. But there ain't but one person in this world can make you leave a good memory. And that's you. You and you alone. Amen. I don't remember much about my granddaddy. He and granny raised me. Remember he had arthritis so bad. His hands looked something like this. Big old knots on his elbow and his toes looked about the same. Couldn't hardly walk. And remember, I used to wash him old gnarled up feet and clean his toenails out, cut them for him. I didn't care. I didn't mind. But he's an old man that lost his health in his 40s, but he knew God. He knew God. He had a lot to put up with in his life. But he knew God. And God put me in that home so he could introduce me to things about the Lord. Amen. Though I don't remember a lot about him like I'd like to, when I think about Granddaddy, think about the old man that had that old Hurtel Bible by his bedside. He let me read that Bible. He talked to me about God out of that Bible. That's how I remember him. Good memory. I thank God often for using people like that to work in my life, to bring me to him. I hope there's somebody out there that can remember you. Say they had a part in bringing me to Christ. I hope somebody out there can remember your name and remember your face and say, I remember the day when they took the word. They encouraged me to get saved. Yeah. Hope they can remember that about you. How are they going to remember you? It's up to you now. It's up to you to make sure that you live your life dedicated to God, so that whether your life ends early or late, makes no matter. You fulfill God's will for your life, and you influence people along the way for the Savior. Lord, I want to thank you tonight for this book. I want to thank you, Father, for the challenges, God, you give us in this book. And I want to thank you, dear Lord, that you're not just interested in us, Lord, and shouting all the time, but you're interested in us walking straight and building a testimony that helps others. Oh, Father, please put in every one of our hearts to want to leave this world right, to want to leave it in a way, Father, that would help others to see Jesus, to have good memories about the Lord. Please do a work for us, and we'll honor you in Christ's name.